Hello, my name is Desmond Lynch. I'm 24 years old and I want to be a filmmaker. I recently made an audio drama called Batman, What Stares Back, and I would like to tell you about it. Development. I first read Darwin Cook's comic book Batman Ego back around October of last year and I instantly fell in love with it. I loved the art style, the aesthetic, I really liked the premise and how dark it really was. It was maybe one of my favorite Batman stories of all time. For those unfamiliar, Batman Ego is a story about a wounded Batman hunting down a low-level criminal after one of Joker's killing sprees. The criminal in question Batman had bullied and threatened into becoming an informant, ratting out his client, the Joker. Batman initially thinks the criminal is about to flee the city when he catches him, but in actuality he was just about to attempt suicide. Batman saves him in the last minute and confronts him. The criminal rebukes Batman, revealing that he learned Joker knew about his betrayal and had sworn vengeance upon him and his family. To prevent his family suffering at the hands of the psychotic clown, the criminal decided to kill his family to spare them pain. Batman is horrified, the thug blames Batman for his wrongdoings, and then commits suicide. Traumatized, Batman heads home, an ensuing mental breakdown takes place, in which Bruce gives up his mantle as Batman only to find himself confronted by his dark alter ego, Batman, or Fear, or how I refer to him in the script, Ego. Batman and Ego have a back and forth, breaking down his motives from unresolved childhood trauma and their crusade as a whole. Ego is trying to justify Batman's existence. Bruce tries to justify abandoning the cowl. After a heated debate and revelation on how they need each other to survive, Bruce accepts the role of Batman and heads out back into the city to save the day. It's a very interesting story, very dark subject matter contrasted with this very picturesque aesthetic, which I really liked. I read it near 3 times all at once and I kept thinking about it a lot. So I decided it would be worth adapting into an audio drama. It's not my first venture into adapting a Batman story. I previously adapted a Neil Gaiman short story called When Is a Door Not a Door, which is an origin story for the Riddler. This project, however, was incredibly ambitious. The comic was so visual to the point where trying to convey the madness that is going on would be borderline impossible. However, the challenge enthralled me, so I set about writing. I made 3 drafts total. The script was almost word for word an adaptation of Batman Ego. I added scenes, for example, the tape recordings in the beginning and end. The car scene had to be rewritten as it couldn't be portrayed audibly, and I added some lines for both Bruce and Ego as well. The writing was tricky because, unlike Orchard, I didn't have a narrator reciting actions. It was all Bruce himself, similar to the comic and noir movies in general. The description had to be bare bones because the voiceover alongside the dialogue was the key focus, and I wanted to see how well I could convey the story through sound effects and music alone. After the writing process was done, I went about making it. Production. Production lasted a few days. The bulk of the text was recorded in the days before heading into post, but I had to do some re-recordings during post as well, as some of the audio wasn't very good. I done all the voices myself, which I'm not very happy about. I'm not an actor, I'm a director, but the project I wanted done relatively quickly, and I didn't have time or money to pay for actors or to wait around to see when my friends were available, so I just did it all myself. I will admit I got a bit lazy with production. Performance for Bruce and Ego were all over the place. Accent drops in places, pitch heightens in place for Bruce as well. Initially, I tried to base Bruce off of the Robert Pattinson Batman and also the voice actor from the Batman black and white motion comic series, as I thought that leaned well into the gritty, noir detective vibe. However, I couldn't get that exact voice, so I tried to maintain a very bassy American accent. Ego's voice was very heavily inspired by Vecna in Stranger Things, very low, gravelly, and gross, creating this very unsettling monster. The other characters I kind of phoned it in as I didn't really know much about what I was doing. Couldn't really do much with Buster's voice either. The car radio voices I did for the most part very quickly just to get it over and done with. Again, I'm not an actor, ergo I'm not very good. I just wanted to get something usable. My limitations also affected the writing process, namely how I had to cut out the scene where Bruce's father had to perform CPR on a dying man and how Bruce witnessed this as a child. It's a very sad, dark scene that I just couldn't make work even if I wanted to, so I had to work on making things playable. The total audio production lasted maybe up to a week. Bruce, as both the character and voiceover, had like 35 lines, Ego had 25 lines, and the rest had maybe 12 lines. I recorded the audio straight onto my computer with my USB condenser mic and Adobe Audition. I'm a bit of a novice in regards to this method of recording, so the audio is far from perfect. But I'll get into that with post-production. By the end of production, I felt very enthusiastic about this project. I even began to think about it as my magnum opus. When you have a project like this, what you initially record is the bare bones. When you look at it, it's pretty plain and simple, and they may leave you to consider whether or not it's any good. However, with each project that I've done, once you start to add the meat, the entire endeavor becomes more and more impressive, and more endearing. However, as I went along making this edit, my enthusiasm for the project came down dramatically. The first issues came along with the rough cut. The audio quality varied. Some of the files were really poor quality because the vocal clarity was so low and the dialogue was so quiet, I was forced to amplify it to make it louder, which in turn meant that I had to adjust the levels and get rid of any bad noises, which the amplification had caused as it increased the noise floor in the original files. There was also some issues with distortion, even though I was recording in 32-bit float, and theoretically you can just remove clipping by de-amplifying the audio. It still depends on the type of mic you use, and mine was pretty cheap, so there is no possibility of fixing it. Some of the audio had to be recorded separately, namely the shouting dialogue that I recorded on the Rode NTG3, the shotgun mic I owned at the time. It's a decent mic, but it emphasizes the bass and creates this surreal sound, which does not blend well with what we had before with the lavs and the USB mic, so it sticks out like a sore thumb. I spent a few days doing the rough edit. That in turn gave me a rough estimate of what the project was going to sound like. In the next edit, I added some basic ambience and sound effects, which in turn helped me to suss out what was needed and what was not. I ended up cutting a bunch of dialogue because the performances were just inconsistent and horrendous, which in turn caused some jarring editing issues, but I settled for that as I didn't want to re-record dialogue for this project as I was quite busy at the time. This first edit allowed me to sort out the pacing issues and allowed for me to establish a sense of space, namely in the Kiev. The dialogue for both Bruce and Ego is very reverby. It creates this sense they're speaking in this vast, vacuous space. You have similar effects with the exteriors on the bridge and the interiors in the manor and Ace Chemicals. Each location has a distinct sound to it, not so much where the audio becomes bad quality and hard to hear, but just enough to establish the environment the scene is taking place in. The main principle was trying to audibly differentiate between Batman's voiceover and Bruce's dialogue. For that, I had to add some filters and mastering effects to make the voiceover sound a lot thicker, bassier, and cleaner. The dialogue would be affected by reverb and other things like that, so audio-wise, they would sound completely different. For Ego, I had to lower his voice, not so much where it sounded too thick, but just enough where the voice became more disturbing, while still being intelligible and sounded authentic. At this point, I also added some filters on Batman's voice at the end and beginning, to create that audio recorder tape sound. I will say there had to be some adjustments to the filters, because if they were too severe, the low bassy dialogue would just be incomprehensible. So as always, dialogue legibility is essential. So having sorted out pacing for the most part and deciding what scenes to include and exclude, I set about making the second and third edits. These, of course, adding a variety of sound effects such as ambience, like the sounds of a city or Kiev noise, alongside sound effects such as punches, cars, etc. Sound effects played a big part in developing the narrative. I think the best sequence in the episode is the bridge scene. Without the music, the pacing feels slower, which is what you need to establish that sense of exhaustion that Bruce is feeling at that moment. Then you have the sound of the train screeching, which changes the vibe from reflective to active as it begins hunting down Buster. The sound of the tracker is actually sonar for a submarine, but I liked it and felt that the beeping added a natural suspense to the scene that I don't know if music would have covered as effectively. The big issue with this project is, of course, it's purely auditory, so there are limits in what you can convey. In a film, you can add hundreds of sound effects to a sequence. Take, for example, when Batman jumps off the bridge to catch Buster. What you have here in audio terms is wind and city ambient, EQ'd to varying levels to establish the height of the bridge you're on, because after all, a city sounds different from the street than it would to a skyline. Then you have footsteps, breathing, cloth movement, cape movement, the sound of Batman gliding through the air, the grappling gun alongside the rope, a swoosh as they moved through the air, massive thud as they smash into the bridge as Batman saves Buster. That in turn causes some cloth movement, some struggle sound effects, a lot of chaotic sounds of movement as Batman then rescues Buster. Buster is screaming, Batman is groaning as he is struggling to pull him up, more cloth movement, more sounds of movement against the top of the bridge, and all of that before you get into the dialogue part of the sequence. With film, you can feature all of that as there is a visual representation of where the sound is coming from. It makes sense for there to be footsteps as you can see Batman moving. It makes sense for there to be cloth rustle and all these other sounds, but when you're dealing with solely audio, you can't feature all of that because it just becomes sensory overload and the listener will have no idea what is going on. You could use about maybe a quarter of what I listed above, and even then it's a very delicate balance. You have to think like that for every sequence. You don't include things because they sound cool or because you like them. Each and every sound has to serve a purpose. It has to connect and build upon what has come before. Otherwise, it's just noise, a distraction from what is going on. But the sequence, again, were limited by budget constraints, namely the sound effects. I was using sound effects from various sound libraries. I actually had to take a break from editing for a month or two because my subscription to one of the libraries expired and couldn't be verified again, so I had to use a new service, which turns out to be not any good in comparison. That, and I got busy with other things as well. With these kind of projects, it's important to strike while the iron is hot. Otherwise, you begin losing interest and it starts getting harder to get back into the swing of things. I pretty much had 60% of the edit finished before I took a break from the project. Like I said, it was harder to get back in the swing of things as I had lost momentum. But here's the thing with procrastination. The task you have before you may or may not be difficult, but try this. Start doing the task for like 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you get the ball rolling, and all of a sudden, you're developing a workflow, and sooner than you realize, 2 hours have passed and you've done more work than you thought possible. And once you get the ball rolling, it's hard to stop, which is where you want to be if you want to get things done. When I got back to work, I re-listened to what I had maybe 2 or 3 times. Each time I listened, I made notes. The big things I needed changed were the sound of Batman's voice, so I lowered the pitch to make it sound more grizzled. I added some growls to Ego to make him sound more animalistic. I fixed the ES chemical scene, turning it from a complete mess to one of the more audibly impressive sequences in the episode. Albeit with some pacing issues. I had to fix up the car radio scene, obviously, but no matter what way you play it, the sequence is always just gonna sound mediocre. There is just too many things going on, and the medium is not suitable to portray that as effectively as film. Then, of course, you had music added in. Surprisingly enough, there isn't that much music in this episode, only 4 songs total. There's music in the car scene, which is this very ambient, wave drone-type track to create a sense of unease. Initially, I wanted something like a pure mental jazz track to help establish how crazy the scene was, but you can't really find anything like that with royalty-free music. When it comes to free music, it really is like trying to find a diamond in a mud field. Then, of course, there is the prayer scene, a scene which I wrote and added to the script as I thought it'd be good to highlight the toll of the coil on Bruce. Originally, I thought about having no music to add to the stillness to the scene, but the music helps pick up the pacing and further drive the tragedy. The ending of the music as well helps create a sense of relief when Bruce initially gives up the coil. Music, however, can be a crutch when trying to give a sequence emotional weight. You want to try to establish emotion, whether that be sadness, suspense, or whatever, without music beforehand. That way, the music heightens it rather than the scene becoming dependent on the music to make the scene work. Ego's entrance has this very tense, epic score, which I liked. It's very Batman-esque. Ego's entrance is a great sequence, except for the bells, but honestly, it's hard to find good copyright-free bells online. The manor scene is a bit iffy. I couldn't find any music I liked, so I had to reuse a piece I had used before on a different project, but the piece I wanted was very small and had issues with looping, which was a nightmare to edit. Again, the East Chemical scene started out as a bit of a mess, but it ended up being relatively solid. Music does play a factor into that as well. The fight punches were a bit annoying to edit because you wanted stuff vague enough to not cause confusion but clear enough to know what they were. For example, you wanted the sound of a punch to the face, but you don't necessarily want all the scuffle noises and foot movement along the metal floor. That's just too much for the sequence to bear. The Vat of Chemicals, I reused the sound effect of a bubbling geyser, same effect I used for the acid in The Witch in the Orchard. The vibe is good for the most part, the Red Hood dialogue is bad, unfortunately, as well as some of Ego's lines, and the pacing is off, which kind of diminishes the sequence. Problem is that East Chemicals is such an iconic location in Batman lore, but general audiences who aren't familiar with it, there may be some translation issues. That's always a key to have in mind. When you're writing something, you have to remember that maybe 15 to 20% of people will know fully what you're talking about and will really like that, but everyone else won't, and you need to appeal to the general audience as well, not just the fans, otherwise you don't have a suitable audience. The final bit of featured music I reused from Bruce initially giving up to Kyle to the scene of Ego offering him the gun. I did this partly out of laziness, which I'm ashamed to admit, but I will say that this piece does parallel quite well with the scene and kind of ties up Bruce's arc from initially giving up to Kyle to begrudgingly taking it back as he realizes it is his destiny. The final product we have here definitely portrays the role of Batman as a tragic character, like a man caught in this state of cognitive dissonance where he realizes the harm and pointlessness of his actions but is incapable of stopping himself and in fact just doubles down. That's not what I initially had intended. I had this dialogue recorded in which Bruce and Ego come to terms of how they need to strive for better, but the lines and the performances just didn't work, so I had to settle for the lines in the original comic book. I had to settle for less for a lot of this project. I had a lot of big ideas to convey each and every panel to heighten each and every scene, but in the end it just seemed like too much. I got the edit done 2 months after initially recording the audio. The final product was 35 minutes long. Project folder contained over 20 gigabytes of audio files. With the edit done, I uploaded the final mix down to my podcast and called it a day. Final thoughts. What I originally thought was my magnum opus proved to be overly ambitious. There was a glass ceiling in regards to audio, and this project kind of proved it. With Orchard, the narration allowed for the action to occur seamlessly. With this project, with the sheer amount of surreal imagery, it was just so hard to portray the vision and insanity of the original comic. I think there's some good stuff here, and I strive to get at least 80% of what I want out of every project. But this project is barely 60. There was just so many things I wanted that wouldn't work. I had to change scenes which ruined pacing and change the whole vibe of the scene from which I initially envisioned it. The project is heartbreaking for me in many ways because I know what it could have been and it's nowhere close. What I learned from this is that I should never abandon my projects until they're finished, that I should remain consistent with my work schedule, that I should invest in my resources even if I am scared that money is a bit tight, that I should plan things out more efficiently, that I should understand the limits of the medium, and in doing so, see how best to overcome them. I approach the world of audio as a filmmaker. Film is an audio-visual medium, and if I can master audio, then I have mastered half of filmmaking. This project may have been too ambitious for audio, but I have learned my lessons and will do better next time. What's next? You can expect to hear more Witch Chronicles and other things like that. Pre-production for The Witch in the Heart of Stone is currently on hold as I got some film projects lined up, but that will get made at some point. I'm in the midst of making my short film Showtime and will keep you posted on the developments of that. Rest assured, there will be more projects coming down the line. Thank you all for listening. Until next time. Goodbye.